You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
There we go. To all of our campuses, those that are our digital family as well joining us, we're excited that you are connecting with us on campus or online. So we're going to talk about new ways and a new you. So I got contacts. So people have been telling me, you look nice. And then a few people said, you look weird is what it is. So whichever way you want to go, that's fine. That's not a problem. But I still require some readers that go along here so I can read these little small prints in the Bible. But we're kicking off 2021, our first Sunday. So Siena, Cypress, Downtown, The Loop, our digital family as well. We are excited about what God's going to do. 2020 has been a tough one. We know that. Who knows what will happen in 2021? But we want to just trust the Lord that God has got a plan for us in 2021. So I want us to do something as a church. I want us in this time, the first thing we do before I give you any words here, I want us to just begin in prayer. That's what I want us to do. And I know we just prayed a minute ago, but here's what I want us to do. I want us to get on our knees and pray. So if you would join me on your knees, if you're on campus, join me on your knees. If you're online at your house, get on your knees. Parents, it's good for your kids to see you on your knees before the Lord. And let's just give God 2021 straight out of the gate. Father, we come, Jesus, at the end of a difficult year, Father, and we know the calendar has changed, but the kingdom calendar is continuing on. And so we pray, God, that this year would be a year of surrender to you, Lord. We trust you. And we want to just say for the good things that happen in 2021, we trust you. For the bad things that will take place in 2021, we trust you. And we want to surrender on our knees across our city, in homes all across the country, even around our state. We want to be on our knees to just say, we surrender this year to you, God. We need you to move, Lord. There's COVID issues still, Father. We need your hand in that. Father, things with our nation, we need your touch and your hand. With our schools, with medical workers, with first responders, with moms and dads and grandparents and kids and employees and employers, Father, we're just asking, God, that we would be the people of God that would walk with you. And we want to surrender this year to you straight out. Just surrender it to you. Would you take just a moment, just in your own heart, just surrender this year to him? Just right where you are. We want to trust you, Lord, with this year. And we surrender it to you. We don't know what's coming, but you do. And so in the feast and in the famine, in the blessings and the trials, we give you 2021. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Go ahead and get back in your seats, if you will. We're going to look into the book of Daniel. We're going to take a couple weeks and do something a little different. And then on January 17th, we're going to jump back into Revelation. But I just couldn't jump in the first Sunday of the year talking about the tribulation. Okay, that's where we are. I felt like that's going to be really discouraging if we just start off with the tribulation. So January 17th, we're back in Revelation. We're talking about the rapture. We're talking about the tribulation. I mean, it's going to get some crazy stuff going on in the book of Revelation as we pop open the seven seals. It's what's going to happen there. So that's going to be January 17th. Today, we're going to talk out of Daniel, and I want to set the tone and set where we've been for the last few years is we've set the tone that in January is a month that we give to prayer and fasting as a church. And the way we do that is we do that in three different ways, and I'll tell you more about this further on in the message, but I want to give some on-ramps. One of the ways is what's called a Daniel fast, where you kind of have a partial fast. You have basically fruits and vegetables and whole grains and water to drink, so it's hard on the coffee drinkers and the Coke drinkers and all that. But to be able to have a Daniel fast that I'll tell a little bit more about later on, that's one thing for at least 5 days. Now, we'll see Daniel does it for 10. Some folks go even further to 21, but at least 5 days. Now, as soon as I said that, some of y'all went, well, forget it. I'm not listening to the rest of this message. I'm not doing that. I'm on a French fry fast. I only eat French fries is what I'm going to do. And that might be what you're thinking. And I know as Texans, the worst thing we can do is have somebody tell us what to do. We're like, come and take it on my hamburger. I'm not messing with that. So that could be that. So let me give you another on-ramp. If you're like, Daniel fast, I like Daniel. He's a great guy. I went to third grade with a guy named Daniel. I liked him a lot, but I don't want to eat his food. So the second thing would be a day fast, that you would take a day and you would fast. One day out of 365 days that Jesus might be better than a hamburger. And you take it this time in January and say, Lord, I'm going to give you a day. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to take the time I would spend eating, and I'm going to focus in prayer on you. We'll even give you all the prayer requests on our website. We got all the prayer requests so that you could pray through if you're like, well, what do I pray? Number three, take a meal, just one meal. Out of all the meals you'll eat in January, one meal to be able, out of the 93 meals you'll eat in January, take one meal and give it to the Lord and say, God, I'm going to go without food. Because what fasting is, it's going without something physically so that we can invest in something spiritually, right? It's going without something physically and so that we can invest in something spiritually. I'll tell you a little bit more about that. But that's what I'm trying to do today, is set us off on a course for January that will give this month to the Lord, give this year to the Lord, and we'll discover some new things spiritually and go some places maybe we haven't been before. Next week, campus pastors are going to be speaking at their campuses, and that's going to be awesome, and they're going to bring the word. And we've got an initiative that we've put forth before you a few weeks ago called Imago Dei, the image of God, seeing all people in the image of God. And one of the things that we have on our things to do, what we want to do, is we want to partner even more than we already do with different churches around our city that are diverse ethnically. And so a good friend of mine, Gary Blackman, he's a friend from the HBU board that we serve on together. He's a pastor of a predominantly black church in kind of the Southwest area. He's going to be preaching. So you're going to finally get some good preaching in this pulpit. He's going to bring it full tilt, which would be great. And Gary will do a super job. He was the chaplain for the fire department, the Houston Fire Department, for 20 years. Served as a fireman for 34 years, has served with Promise Keepers, is on numerous boards, is a good, good friend of mine. And so Gary's going to be in the pulpit at the Loop and online. And so you'll have a real treat with Gary. And he'll continue on talking about Daniel and some things that God's doing in their church as well, which is really great. So that's where we're going for the next 3 weeks. Today, we're trying to lock down January with some vision. And then next week, we're going to have campus pastors doing a great job at campuses and Gary online and at the Loop. And then we're going to have in January 17th, we're going to kick back off into Revelation. So that's where we're headed in this month of where we're going. So I want you to turn to the book of Daniel. Chapter 1 is where we're going to be. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel is an amazing Old Testament character. I want to be like Daniel. You want to be like Daniel. When we read this about Daniel, teenagers, listen up. He's a teenager when this is happening. He's a teenager. So teenagers, God has got something for you on standing strong in the Word. So here we go. New ways, new you, Daniel chapter 1 in a new year. Let's look at it together. Here we go. In the third year of the reign of King Jehoiakim of Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, notice two different areas, came to Jerusalem and laid siege to it. That's bad. But listen to verse 2. The Lord handed King Jehoiakim of Judah over to him, along with some of the vessels from the house of God. This was saying, we're going to have dominance over you, that Babylon's going to steal the vessels from the house of God. Nebuchadnezzar carried them to the land of Babylon, to the house of his God, and put the vessels in the treasury of his God. The king ordered Ashpenazah, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the Israelites. Now listen to this list. Single ladies, this is your wish list. Here it is. You ready? From the royal family, because I've been watching The Crown, from the royal family. Or maybe you don't want the royal family after you've been watching The Crown. I don't know which way it goes. From nobility, young men without any physical defect, good looking, oh, come on, suitable for instruction with all wisdom, because I got some things to teach him, knowledge, perceptive, capable of serving in the king's palace. I don't want him to embarrass me when I take him places. And he was to teach them the Babylonian language and literature. The king assigned them daily provisions from the royal food, from the wine that he drank, and they were to be trained for 3 years. At the end of that time, they were to attend the king. Verse 6, notice they're going to change their names. Among them from the Judahites were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, And the chief eunuch gave them names. He gave them the name Belteshazzar to Daniel, Shadrach to Hananiah, Meshach to Mishael, and to Abednego to Azariah. Let's stop right there. So what's happening in this moment is what's called the Babylonian captivity. Let me teach you some Bible here. The Babylonian captivity is not the Exodus that took place with Moses, okay? That's a different thing going on. That's already happened. That was, you know, a long, long time back in the past. Now it's a whole different story. Now we've got the Babylonian captivity. King Nebuchadnezzar comes and he takes over Jerusalem and he takes over the people of God. Nebuchadnezzar's a bad guy. That's why you never went to first grade with anybody named Nebuchadnezzar, right? You don't have any friends that have been named after Nebuchadnezzar because he's a bad dude. He takes over Jerusalem. Now, and then he takes over the people of God. And so it's the Babylonian captivity. It's going to last 70 years is how long it's going to last, 70 years. All right. Now, what year this is right now when Daniel is taken captive is 605 BC. Most people start the Babylonian captivity at 586 BC. Now, remember when it's BC, the bigger the number, the further back in the past it is, the smaller the number, the closer it is to the birth of Christ. So 605, Daniel is taken right here. You can write your Bible at the top, 605 BC. And then at 586 BC, it goes further, Jerusalem is going to be attacked and the temple in Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. Now, that's a big date that you need to remember if you want to know your Old Testament. 586 BC, Jerusalem is destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. Now, from that, with the temple being destroyed, you're going to end up later on with a guy named Ezra. Do you remember Ezra rebuilding the temple? Then you're going to end up with a guy named Nehemiah. Do you remember Nehemiah rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem? Why did that happen? Because Nebuchadnezzar in 586 destroyed Jerusalem. So now you got just a good portion of your Bible of what's happening here. So Daniel is taken captive in the Babylonian captivity. You could start it at 586. You could start it, at 605. But the 70 years, really, 586 is the best place to do that for a lot of reasons I can't get into. But that's where we're going, and that's where we're set right now. Now, what does this mean? We have some interesting things going on here with the Babylonian captivity. Verse 2 says that the Lord handed them over. Now, that's a little bit odd, isn't it? They were walking in disobedience, and God handed them over in captivity. It's actually in Jeremiah chapter 25. If you turn there, you would find in verse 8 and following, it's talking about this thing happening. So we've got something here. At the very beginning, it's a difficult time. But difficult times can bring deeper devotion. That's the first point I want to give you. Difficult times can bring deeper devotion. So God is handing them over to the people that aren't of God. They're now under the control of Nebuchadnezzar. And we're going to see in this difficult time, deeper devotion is going to happen in Daniel and his friend's life. Now, what happens when you see God do something like that? He handed them over to Nebuchadnezzar. What do we do with verse 2? Well, verse 2 is about the sovereignty of God. Do you know that God is above all the affairs of men and women? God is above all the things that happen on planet Earth. Now, here's the thing about the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God can give you great comfort. Lord, you knew this was going to happen. So we have great comfort. But the sovereignty of God can give you great comfort, but the sovereignty of God can also give you kind of a puzzle in your mind. Lord, you knew this would happen. Why did you let it happen? You see? So you've got this thing with the comfort of God. He knew that it would happen. So I can place my heart in the comfort of that. But then also the sovereignty of God gives me problems. Because in the sovereignty of God, if you knew it was going to happen, why did you let it happen? Because this is a problem. This is a difficult time. I can't explain that to you, but I can say this to you. We've got to trust the Lord in the midst of it. Difficulty brings deeper devotion. Abraham Lincoln said famously, many times I've been driven to my knees, realizing I had no other place to turn. So he's praying because he knows in the sovereignty of God, Lord, in his case, you've got the Civil War in your hands and you got the presidency in your hands. I'm driven to my knees because I got no other place to go. And that's what the sovereignty of God sometimes happens in our life. I want the comfort, and yes, I need to have that. And at the same time, I got some problems of how could you let this happen? Can't you see the people of God, Daniel, being like, you gave us over to Nebuchadnezzar? Why? And yet, Lord, you're still true, and so I'm going to trust you in the lion's den, and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego are going to trust him in the furnace, and they're going to say, Lord, you do what you want to do, and I'm going to trust you with that. Daniel's captivity does something really interesting. Let me tell you a little bit more about this. Did you notice when I told you their names were changed? They take their Jewish names, and they changed them to Babylonian names. Now, their Jewish names were names that actually said something about God. Daniel's name meant my judge is God. Hananiah's name meant Yahweh has shown grace. Mishael's name says that who is like the Lord? Who is what God is? Azariah's name means Yahweh has helped. But when their names get shifted and changed to Babylonian names, do you know that all of those names are based upon a Babylonian false god? And they say, no, we're going to stand true and we're going to stand strong. Here's what I want you to know, is that in society, in the world we live in, they're always trying to change our name, trying to change your identity, trying to change who you are in Christ. And here's what one commentator puts it so wisely. Teenagers, these guys are teenagers. I want you to hear this, teenagers. Here's what one of the commentators said. He is interpreting, let me find what he says here in the right place. These new names would have encouraged these teenagers to think of themselves as a part of the culture in which they are living in rather than the culture in which they have come from. Did you hear that? The new names are to teach them and to get them to think about the culture they're living in, not the culture they're coming from. And so what can happen in a student's life is you could be raised in a godly home, and then all of a sudden you find three friends and you figure out what'll make them like you, and all of a sudden you get into that culture and you dismiss everything you've been taught in the church or you've been taught at home. And I'm telling you this, Daniel, Meshach, and Abednego, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stood strong on the Lord. Teenagers, you stand strong on who you really are in Christ. And I hope you're being raised in a godly home. I hope, obviously you're at church right now, but to be able to walk with God in those ways, to say, it doesn't matter where I go. I don't change my name by who I'm around. I'm not a lizard that changes colors. I'm a Christian that walks in. I'm not a thermometer. I'm a thermostat, teenager. I change the temperature of what's around me. I don't measure the temperature of what's around me. Yeah, let's cheer for that, all campuses and online. That's all the parents of teenagers right now cheering in this moment. To be able to say for you teenagers to get a great picture of what God can do. And I know it's hard. It's hard as an adult. It's called peer pressure. And I got bad news. It never ends, right? At some point, you got to stand with the Lord and say, God, I'm going to trust you. So difficult times can bring deeper devotion. These were teenagers. Their primary identity was being shaped by the world. And they said, no, we're not going to have a name change. We're going to trust and we're going to walk with you and walk. So kids, teens, stand strong. Preteens, kids, stand strong. Adults, stand strong. Let's walk with God. We often grow the most in tough times, don't we? Think about what 2020 taught us. What did 2020 teach us? Well, let me just give you a couple things. One, look at the flexibility 2020 brought to us. Look at the flexibility. If we haven't learned that verse in James, if the Lord wills, we'll go to this city and we'll do business and we'll do this, that, and the other, you ain't never going to learn it. If the Lord wills, every one of us has had something canceled that we were looking forward to. Every one of us has had a surprise. Every one of us has got a phone call and so-and-so tested positive and what and this and that. Flexibility is a good thing for your spirit and your heart. Let God use that. Number two, look at the simplicity that 2020 brought to us. Aren't you grateful for things you expected previously because of all we've been through? I'm really grateful for church. I'm really grateful for when I can get together with folks. I'm grateful for people. I'm grateful for health. I'm grateful for hospital workers. I'm grateful for so many things we just took for granted. And I've realized also, too, in my life, the simplicity of what it's brought. We don't really need all the things we thought we needed. And so there's simplicity that God's brought in this difficult time, and that's a good thing for your heart. Living simply is good. That's good. And we have a tendency to complicate our lives. And number three, and finally, both of these are good lessons on the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God. We find comfort in He knew, and then we find this little like, you knew? Well, why did you know? Are you nice God or not? And we've got to live in the tension of being able to say, Lord, the sovereignty of you, but I'm not going to change my name just because the wind's blowing a different direction. I'm going to walk with you in a great way. See, life is tough. That's just how it goes. And 2020 is going to be tough too. There's going to be sickness, there's going to be crisis, there's going to be relational issues, there's going to be grief, there's going to be money issues, there's going to be government issues. It's going to be there. But you know what? We've got to be able to live life. Now, what I want to tell you in this next part, I don't want you to take this as me talking about you need to get out of your house more, you need to do this more. When I'm talking about living life, you know, everything we could say nowadays can be politicized. I'm not trying to do that. You stay home where you feel safe. You get out where you feel safe. You do what you need to do. None of what I'm about to say is about any of that, okay? But what I am saying is that we've got to, in our hearts, go for it with God. Missions is not over just because we can't travel quite as much. God is still at work in our giving. God is still at work in our Bible study. God is still at work in life Bible study. God is still at work in worship. Church is still important. Quiet times make a difference. Opening up the church devotional this year and reading through it, letting God do something in your life. Fasting still matters. Prayer still matters. But what can happen is in a year like this, we could just kind of cocoon. And again, I'm not talking about whether you go to the mall or not. We can in our hearts cocoon and say, God, you could do something in me later. And God's saying, I want to do something in you now. I want to do something in you now. You were made to live life. You were made to walk in the Spirit. You were made to act out these things of God, of what the Lord has in your heart. And so your marriage can grow. Your relationships can grow. You could find the one that you're going to marry, even in these crazy times. But what can happen is we can get cloistered. I'm not talking about physical. We can get cloistered physically and say, I don't want to risk anything. I don't know what's going to happen. And never really trust the Lord. Tough things are going to happen. But in the sovereignty, you can trust him. And at the same time, you can go, I don't know why that happened. And you can walk with him in it. One of the things I like to do is just kind of a silly thing, but maybe some of y'all like to do it as well. I always think it's fun at the first of the year on January 1st to buy the newspaper that's there and just see what the headlines are for the newspaper. And then, you know, I've filed some of those away through the years. Now you can just Google it, you know. But they didn't have any more Chronicles. There weren't any newspapers but this one of the New York Times. And so I thought, well, I'll get the New York Times. So I got the New York Times, started flipping through it, reading it. And I got to this one article. It isn't really about New Year's Day or anything. But it was about supercars, so like Ferraris, Maseratis, Lamborghinis, I mean, all those sort of type of things. I mean, the car you got for Christmas is basically what this article is about, okay? So that car that you got or you already own is here. So it's called this, The Lament of the Garage Queen. The Lament of the Garage Queen. And here's what it's about. It's about supercars that people don't drive, because they want to increase the value of them. Listen to a couple things here on this. Pretty interesting. Supercars hold their value better the less you play with them. They're like collector's children's toys, and they're worth more when sealed in the original packaging. But what fun is there in that? On sale in Montreal for $622,000 is a 1990 Lamborghini Countach 25th anniversary model. It looks brand new. And it even has plastic still over the seats. In over 30 years, it has covered only 83 miles. Some of y'all commute more of that in a day. Powered by a 455 horsepower V12 capable of 190 miles an hour, the car has almost never been moved. It's gone through several owners, none of who have driven it any distance. And it's basically going to be flatbedded on a trailer the rest of its life. Let me show you a picture of this amazing car. There it is. Notice it's in somebody's living room, okay? That's interesting. I've got a sermon on idol worship later on you can listen to. So here's this amazing car, right? Look at the interior of the car. Still covered in plastic, the interior of the car. And I get, you know, most cars from 1990 are worth $622 instead of $622,000. But listen what this one salesman says about this. He says, this market defies the logic. The cars were built to be driven. They need to be driven or they will suffer from inactivity. I see no investment logic in owning cars that deteriorate through sitting in obsolete ways. Then they become obsolete by next year's model after it's improved. He says this, if you're going to treat your supercars like a Grecian urn, why not collect Grecian urns? At least they won't leak oil. Then they go through all the problems when a car sits, and then you hadn't heard of the guy that I just quoted, but you've heard of this guy. His name's Jay Leno, and Jay Leno is a car collector. And he says, letting cars sit is the worst thing you can do. Cars are like people. They need to be exercised. Isn't that interesting? Cars are like people and they need to be exercised. Is that a beautiful car? Yes. Is it incredible? Yes. Is it amazing? Yes. But was it made to sit in a garage? No. Has God put incredible spiritual gifts in you? Yes. Has God put the Holy Spirit and God in you if you're a believer in Christ? Yes. Has he given you access to God in prayer through Jesus Christ? Yes. Has he got sovereignty over your life and your world and your family? Yes. Has he blessed you, some of you, with an amazing wife or husband or family? Yes. But you weren't made to sit in the garage spiritually. You were made to race on the track. You were made to go for it. So when I say, let's pray in January, don't go, and sit in the garage. And I say, well, what about fasting? Well, get on the track. Let God do something amazing in your life in 2021. And it'll still be a difficult year, but God wants to do something in you, in me. I want my marriage to be better. I want my relationship with my kids to be better. I want to be a better pastor. I want to be a better Christian. And I want to do all that through the Holy Spirit of God working forth in my life. Not me just trying. God doing something because that's what I was made to be. Gentlemen, you were made to be an incredible godly husband if you're married. Singles, you were made to be an incredible single with your focus on Jesus. Kids, you were made to obey your parents. That's why guilt is so wrecking to your soul. Teenagers like these, you were made to stand for God. We were made to be in the race. Watch Daniel in the race now. You ready? We're going to watch him get on the track. It's found in verse 8. Let's look at verse 8. So they're like, okay, you can change our names, but we're still the same people. Here it is, verse 8. Daniel determined, underline or circle the word determined. Some of your Bibles say resolved. I'll tell you about that Hebrew word in a minute. He was determined, resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. He's a teenager saying, no, I already got a king. And his name's Jesus. In the Old Testament, it'd be Yahweh, but so he asked permission from the chief eunuch not to defile himself. This would go against the Jewish tradition to defile himself in this way. Verse 9, God granted Daniel kindness and compassion from the chief eunuch. He had favor. Yet he said to Daniel, I fear the Lord, the king, who assigned your food and drink. What if he sees your face looking thinner and than the other young men of your age? You would endanger my life. The king will kill me if I don't give you the food to fatten you up. Verse 11, so Daniel said to the guard whom the chief eunuch had assigned to Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days and let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then examine our appearance and the appearance of the young men who are eating the king's food and deal with your servants based on what you see. Here's our next thing. Difficult times lead to deeper devotion, and devotion blossoms with determination. Devotion blossoms with determination. Everybody wants to be fit. Nobody wants to go to the gym. Everybody wants to be smart. Nobody wants to read. Determination is what takes our good intentions into actions, don't they? An opinion is something you hold. A conviction is something that holds you. An opinion is something you hold. A conviction is something that holds you. And Daniel says, I got a conviction. I'm not going to defile myself against the Jewish food regiment that I'm on. I've come from a godly heritage in this moment, and I'm going to walk with God as a teenager in this moment. I'm not going to be shamed by these folks around me or shaped into different ways. I'm going to walk with him. And he says in that first verse in verse 8, it says, and he was determined, he was resolved. Interesting Hebrew word. It means to take something from one place and move it to another. Take something from one place and move it to another. So here's what I'm asking you to do. In 2021, will you take your marriage, your relationships, your prayer life, your walk with God, your giving, your serving, and would you take it from where it is and determine to move it to another place in the power of Jesus Christ and allow God to do something great in your life and get out of the garage? You know what a rut is? It's just a grave with the ends kicked out. That's what a rut is. A grave with the ends kicked out. And some of us are in a spiritual rut, and I'm telling you, fasting and prayer will fire you back up. And allowing God to do something great. Devotion blossoms with determination. What do you need to get done this year that just needs to happen? Do you have a will? Do you need to clean out that closet? Do you need to get your finances in order? Do you need to pay off some debt? What needs to get done this year? Do you need to show up earlier for work, stay a little bit longer, give a bigger effort, get a new job, do this, do that. What needs to get done this year? You're going to have to be determined. What needs to be done relationally in your family this year? Be determined. Emotionally in your life. Heart work is hard work. Spiritually in your life, to move something from one place to another. And what was the problem with the supercars? They never moved. They stayed in one place over and over. Determination is to move from one place to another. What needs to get done physically in your life today, this year, emotionally, spiritually, relationally? And are you up for something new? Are you up for something new? Do something new. Get the church devotional and read through it and spend time each day with the Lord. I'm trying to do something new in my life. I have tried for years to do the one-year New Testament or one-year Bible. I can make it through the one-year New Testament. The one-year Bible, I seem to kind of crash and burn about February or somewhere every time. Well, I'm trying to listen to it now on my phone. So I got the Bible app here on my phone, and they've got a whole plan of the one-year Bible. And so I know myself well enough. It's January 3rd right now. I'm already on day 8 because I'm trying to get ahead for the days that I miss coming up. I know me. Right? It's not that I'm not, I spend plenty of time in the Bible studying and doing things like that, but I just want to get, what if? Okay? So in March, ask me. In May, if I say no, quit asking me. Okay? Let's just, but I'm just trying to do something new in my life, right? Put on my contacts today to try to do something new in my life. Try to laugh a little bit more. Do something new. Try to do something a little bit different. Are you up for something new spiritually? Well, if you are, let me ask you about prayer and fasting this time in January. The Daniel fast, we're going to help you with it. Here's what we're going to do. If you text 41411, text the word Daniel to 41411, we'll send you the link on our website that'll tell you the foods you can eat, the foods you shouldn't eat. And it'll give you right there that. And you'll have to be determined when you go to the grocery store to pick out those foods to be able to do that. Now, I didn't want to tell you someplace that I haven't been yet, so I started the Daniel fast a couple days ago. I'm going to do 10 days. I'm just asking if you want to do 5 or more. I'm going for 10, so I'm on day 4 right now to be able to go. And let me tell you what, Matthew chapter 6 says, wash your face. Don't be gloomy. Don't complain about it. And let me tell you what, I feel great. It's awesome. It's been a blessing. I find in my walk with God, when I sacrifice, I receive blessing. Of course, I'm not eating everything I want to eat. Yeah, there's sacrifice in it, but I feel good. It's fine. I feel actually a lot better than I felt when I was eating all the Christmas cookies night and day. But to be able to say, let me do something new. So we'll send you the link on that. We'll be able to do that for you so that you can get all the information. We'll give you recipes. We'll give you links of stuff you can read about it. All different things. We'll give you prayer requests for 5 days of praying for yourself, praying for your church, praying for your nation, that you can just print out and pray through that going on. So we've got that on our website that we'll be able to put up that. We're also going to start tomorrow. We're going to have an online devotional at noon each day, Monday through Friday. We're going to do an online devotional. And what that's going to be is I'm going to lead it from this very stage at the Loop, and I'm going to have some guests with me. Pastor Gary's going to be with me that's going to preach at the Loop and online next weekend. He's going to be right there with me on one of the days. Chris Gutierrez, a news man from Channel 2, member of our church, he's going to be with me on one of those days. Kelly, my wife's going to be with me on another one of those days. And a couple other people, I'll kind of jump in there, will be with me on some other days. But I'm going to give you a devotional for about noon to about 12:20, 12:30. Sing one song, then we're going to have a devotional time to just be able to pray together so we can do that. We can go through that together. So maybe the Daniel fast is something for you. Maybe it's just a day of fasting in the month of January. Maybe it's just a meal of fasting, just one meal that you can go for on that and say, Lord, I'm going to give it to you in prayer. And what you'll find is God will do something in your heart with this. He tells us that in his word. So I began the Daniel fast. It was my first day of the Daniel fast. Had to run to the grocery store to get something. I walked into the grocery store to get something. And the first sign I see was in letters this big, huge sign. I walk in the door and it says, cake. And I said, get behind me, Satan, is what I said. This is quoted scripture. Cake. And I'm like, I love cake. I love all kinds of cake. When I eat a cake, I don't even need a fork. I can just pinch off a piece and put it in my mouth. Now, everybody else doesn't like that, but I don't care what they like. I like cake. And so I'm going to put that in. I can get a knife. I can get fork. You can get it going. You know, if you get to the right place, there'll be like 3 different cakes to choose from at the place. And so I just cake, and there it is, cake. And this is what popped in my heart. This is what popped up. I want to eat what I want to eat when I want to eat it. That's what came out of me. I want to eat what I want to eat when I want to eat it. What does that mean? I'm walking in fasting and I want to walk over there and get a cookie or a sample or a cake or eat it later, or the, you know, the Starbucks that's there, it's drinking only water in the Daniel fast. It's tough on the coffee side to be able to say no. And that was the heart that I had. I want to eat what I want to eat when I want to eat it. And God said, that's why I have you fasting. I want to take that seed out of you. Because let me tell you what'll happen. If you take, I want to eat what I want to eat when I want to eat it, and you put it into your marriage and you say, I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it, you're going to have a problem in your marriage. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it as a parent. You're going to have a problem as a parent. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. You're going to have a problem as a teenager, and you're not going to look like Daniel students. And when we have that seed in us of I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it, we're not following God. And fasting and prayer begins to remove the seed of I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it in whatever relationship, whatever place, whatever subject, whether it's giving of your time or your resources or eating cake. God wants to pull that out. Watch. Why? So that we can say this, I want to do what you wanted me to do when you want me to do it. Do you see the difference in surrender? I want to do what you want me to do when you want me to do it, and I surrender to you. Now watch what happens quickly as we close this up. Devotion and determination to make a difference, okay? How do you really make a difference in your life? Devotion and determination. I talked about devotion first, determination second. That's what makes a difference. Now look at verse 13 through verse 16. Then examine our appearance and the appearance of the young men who are eating the king's food, and deal with your servants based on what you see. He agreed with them and about this, and he tested them for 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, they looked better and healthier than all the young men who were eating of the king's food. So the guard continued to remove their food and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. Did you see the difference that happened there? They looked better. Things went better when they sacrificed for the Lord. And so what I say to us, our first message of 2021, teenagers, stand with God, walk with God. Adults, stay with God, walk with God. Kids, stand with God and walk with God. And let's be the people that say, I want to do what He wants me to do when He wants me to do it. And let's let that seed of independence, disobedience, I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it, be pulled out of us through prayer and fasting, and let's be a little bit more like Daniel. And you know what? I've never met a sacrificial, selfless, God-following, honoring person that hadn't looked a whole lot better than a selfish glutton. God makes a difference. So let's get out of the garage. Let's rev the engine. And let's go where God leads us and allow Him to do great things. Father, we come in Jesus' name. For those that want to change our name, we say no. We've got a name. We've got a King. Help us stand strong. Give us strength to get out of the garage, get out of the church even, in the sense of serving and making a difference. We just tell you we love you, Lord. Father, would you burn out of us the I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it, and put in us, God, I want to do what you want me to do when you want me to do it. And that will be the difference in our marriage, our kids, the way kids view their parents, our church, our nation, our world. As we walk with the name Christian, and we give it to you, Lord. You're better than a sandwich. Do something in us. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you turn to Him and just say, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. That's where it all begins. Forgive me of my sins. If you do know Him, would you just say, God, speak to my heart. Take just a second, lastly. Ask God what He wants you to do with fasting. Don't just guess the easiest. Ask Him. For some, Lord, you've set a meal. For some, you've set a day. For some, you've set days in a Daniel fast. And we just want to do what you want us to do when you want us to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.